Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And as I was reading the song that we're going to do today, All Along the Watchtower, there were certain phrases that Bob Dylan used in his writing. And I was like, I know that this comes from Isaiah 21, but it doesn't sound like it. And so I went and looked at the King James Version. And sure enough, you could tell that Dylan had been reading this version. So we're going to use the King James Version. It's more poetic, which is more true to the prophets. The prophets used to speak in poetry quite often. So listen and hear this word from Isaiah chapter 21 in the King James translation of Scripture. The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken a hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, and let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of donkeys, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here cometh the chariot of men, a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her God he hath broken into the ground. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So here we are in our series on the gospel in secular music, and I chose Bob Dylan's song. It's All Along the Watchtower. We're going to use Jimi Hendrix's version because it's 11 o'clock and people are hungry, and I thought Hendrix might wake us up. But also because Bob Dylan said he liked this version better than his. And he actually used this version as he sings. He sung this song. Bob Dylan has sung this song more than any of his other songs that he's written. So here you go. You never thought you'd hear it, but Jimi Hendrix in church, All Along the Watchtower. The words are in your bulletin, so if you want to read along and listen with your ears, go ahead.
Some kind of way out of here, say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman dig my earth. None will level on the mine, nobody now. The hour's getting later. Hey!
Do I need to explain that? Everybody get the gospel in there? Oh, will you pray for me? And I'll pray for you. Lord, we need you to open our ears to hear you in surprising places so that we can then open our mouths and praise you and declare you to others. Lord, we need you to soften our hearts so that they can be molded by you. And for you. God, we need you to speak to us because there is a world out there that is looking for an alternative to what's being offered. And we believe that Jesus is that alternative. That on your cross, Jesus, you ended a world and you started another one. And that we can be a part of that. So speak to us today, Lord. We are your servants. And we're listening. Amen. So how strange is it that anyone would take seriously a conversation between a joker and a thief? That's what's going on in Dylan's song All Along the Watchtower. And it's so strange that this song kind of became the soundtrack of the Vietnam era in America. It's probably the theme song. I mean, have you ever seen a documentary or a film on Vietnam and didn't hear this song? No. It's coming out all over the place. And maybe that's because that young, talented guitar hero Jimi Hendrix got a hold of it. But what I think is it is Dylan's words that will pierce our soul. Now, Bob Dylan, he grew up Jewish, and he converted to Christianity and released two or three gospel albums in the 1970s and 80s. But the song that we're covering today, it comes before his conversion to Christianity. And what I hope that we see is that even in 1966, when he wrote this song, already God's gospel is kind of pursuing Dylan and coming out in his work. So there's three main movements in this song. Movement one is going to be what I'm going to call the Joker's lament. It is the Joker's cry for help. The second movement is the thief's kind words or wise words of response. And then the third movement is a prophetic word from Isaiah chapter 21. And so the Joker's lament is the first thing that happens. There must be some kind of way out of here, says the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. So here's the situation. The character feels trapped. There's confusion everywhere, lack of clarity, and he needs a way out. Now, this opening line is an allusion to a famous play written by a French philosopher named Jean-Paul Sartre. And the title of that, or Sartre, I'm not good at French. The title of that play is No Exit. And Dylan says there's no way out. Now, here's kind of the main idea of this French philosopher's thinking. He says there's no objective truths out in the world. That, in fact, there is no meaning to life at all. That there is no meaning for life unless you give it meaning. And this was kind of world-shaking, world-changing stuff in those days before Sartre and his contemporaries. Everyone just assumed that some things were true in the world. There were some things that were true about humanity and about the world we lived in and about God, that to find these truths, you listened, you searched, you discovered them, you received them as a gift, that some things that they believed were right, even if no one in the world did them. And some things were wrong, even if everyone in the world was doing them. But then there's this shift with Sartre and Nietzsche and all these existential philosophers. And what becomes the center point of the world is not God, but I, me, the self. I become the sole arbiter of truth. Has everybody heard of the word autonomous? You know what that word autonomy, like that's something that we're taught to want, that I want autonomy for myself. And what that means is self, auto, nomos, law. I am a lawgiver unto myself. If I want to know what is true, I say what is true. I do not discover truth, I invent truth. I create myself. Sound familiar? This is kind of the air that we breathe today. What I am, I'm a fish up here telling you other fish about the water, right? And with this shift in thinking, the center of life, it moves from God to from family, from community to me. Listen to this ruling from Chief Justice Kennedy in 1992. At the heart of liberty is the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. Wow. Like, that's a lot of stuff to figure out in life. The meaning of the universe, the mystery of human life, and the concept of existence. But I get, right? I get why we moved away from the givers of truth, which was traditionally the church, the family, and this country of origin. Because parents can be overbearing. The church seems to move from one scandal to another. Our country can embarrass us and do terrible things. And family life can be dysfunctional at best and abusive at worst. And so it does seem like we're left out there all alone, and I have to decide what truth is, and I have to invent it. I want to say that there's deep problems with this way of thinking. The most obvious one is that it's self-centered. I am the center. I decide. All the other things that try to tell me about truth and goodness and the meaning of life, we're told that those are authoritarian and we must throw them off if we want to be free. But here's the other problem. When we're left out there all alone trying to create a world of meaning for ourselves, which it actually means that life is meaningless, that all that other stuff out there, if I have to invent myself, all that other stuff out there has no inherent meaning to it. And there is this phantom that haunts us, that even if we create the greatest meaning in the world, and I think I'm awesome, there's this phantom out there that kind of haunts us, that we know that really, really, life is meaningless. And that's the case for the Joker in the song. He can't get any relief. There's no way out. There's no escape. He looks around and he sees the decadence of the wealthy drinking wine, creation being mindlessly destroyed. There's insanity and dishonesty and confusion, because there is this whole world of people out there who is doing right in their own right, is doing what is right in our own eyes, and then we're insisting that everyone else affirm whatever truth I've invented for myself. We cannot pursue a common good because we do not hold any goods in common. This is not the world that us enlightened humans thought that we would usher in with an age of reason. Now, you may be wondering why I'm talking about atheist philosophers and the 1960s in church. This is the reason. What began with those old thinkers a couple hundred years ago, and it began kind of seeping out and playing out in the 1960s, it's simply the air we breathe today. Like, if I told you you had to go out and invent yourself, and you were able to create yourself and to cast off your parents' teachings and the church's teachings and society's teachings, you'd say, yeah, I've already done that. That's the air that we breathe today. And the results have been terrible. I want you to listen to these results. The suicide rates and mental illness have risen astronomically in the last decade. Those worst affected are teens and college-age Americans. The rate in the last decade has tripled among girls. It's doubled among boys. Clinical diagnosable depression and anxiety rates have risen 50% in the last 4 years. And this is all on the CDC. You can check it out. Drug and alcohol abuse and addiction has risen every single year since the 1970s. And we think of the 60s and 70s as the heyday of drug use in America. No, it's gone up every single year, not just opiates. Every single kind of drug addiction rates have risen. And one of the key reasons that
especially through social media. This is a direct correlation to the smartphone and social media use. Spend more than 2 hours a day, where you literally have to create yourself a persona and you present it to the world. It may not be very impressed with the self that you've created, and they dog you and bully you and all this other stuff that's going on. You see, human beings are really, really good at a whole lot of things. But we seem to be really bad at constructing ultimate meaning out of thin air. And so, there must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's so much confusion, I can't get no relief. That's the voice of a secular age, crying out for relief. And into this storm of angst, the voice of the thief speaks. No reason to get excited, the thief kindly spoke. There are many here among us that feel that life is but a joke. Yes, there are a lot of people that think that there's nothing going on in this life. You have to create meaning, and there's no meaning. Calm down. Then he says, you and I, we've been through that. We've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us stop talking falsely now. The hour is getting late. So, multiple times in the New Testament, Jesus is compared to a thief. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, see, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays away. You heard 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. Andrew read that to us, and it says, the day of the Lord comes like a thief at night. Now, what all of this biblical talk about Jesus as a thief has in common is that they are all talking about God's power and God's presence about to break in fully into your life and into the world. Dylan's words, the hour is getting late, this is just classical biblical end time language. The kind of language that is reserved for people who are in the midst of rough and confusing times when everything seems as if it is amiss. These are words that urge us to be ready and to hang on. These are words that urge us to follow God more closely and to move away from all of the stuff that's distracting us from God. Let us stop talking falsely now. The hour is getting late. So the thief, I want to suggest, is a kind of Jesus figure, a Christ figure. He's seen the world at its ugliest. Right? He's suffered the world at its worst, at its most unjust and violent, and through the resurrection he has made another way of life possible. I've been through that, he says. Been through all of it. I've seen all the ugliness you see, Joker. I've been through it, but it's a lot. Let us stop talking falsely now. The hour is getting late. He's saying that this whole story of the meaninglessness of life is a lie, that God's about to break into the scene, and God wants you, wants me, wants us to join up with God, to discover a new truth that's always been wrapped up in the old truth of God. And finally, we move in scene three. And scene three, we'll take it on a watchtower. It's a scene straight out of Isaiah chapter 21. And there again, Isaiah 21 is a frantic situation. And in the old King James, we hear a lion roar, and Dylan sounds a wildcat chorus. Princes stand along the watchtower. And on the watchtower, we look out, because we're looking out for help, and two riders are approaching. Two riders are approaching the watchtower, and Dylan just leaves it at that. He's not going to tell us what the riders say, what kind of news they're bringing, but Isaiah tells us. Isaiah tells us exactly what the riders say. Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. That's the rider's message that we hear from the watchtower. Now, in the Bible, Babylon is a symbol of the city of sin. Revelation chapter 18 describes Babylon as a city that is obsessed with power and sex, and decadence, and addiction, and consuming the goods of the world, and leading the world astray. Sound like a culture you might know. And then, in the book of Isaiah, like the book of Isaiah, Revelation's message is the same. Babylon has fallen. It's all coming down. And you don't want to be relying on that old world that's crumbling. Come out of her, my people, that you do not take part in her sin, and you do not share in her. That's Revelation 18:33. See, taking us to the watchtower, Dylan gives us eyes to see the world that the Joker sees, and to see that its days are numbered, that there is an alternative, and there is a way out. I'm reminded of a colleague that I served with, and she's up in so we asked her at a clergy meeting, like, how do you keep pushing forward? And she replied, these present circumstances are temporary. The way I read the scripture, one world ended on the cross, and another world began. And I want to be part of the world that began that day. In other words, Babylon is fallen. The old world is crumbling, and a new world can begin today. You see, this woman didn't live in the meaninglessness of life. She didn't need to wake up every morning and create this persona and give it to the world through social media or our fake smiles that we bring in so often. She lived in God's fallen world, and she felt no need to escape it. She lived in the ugliness and in the beauty of life, and she embraced it. Now, what I find so interesting about the Joker in this song is that even though he looks around and he sees the rich intoxicated with the fruit of creation, even though he sees the earth being destroyed and insanity and dishonesty all around, there was something inside of him that knows there must be a way out of here. There must be a way out. Life can't be this meaningless. Maybe you're here today too and you get that sense. There's more to life than you're currently living right now. There's more to life than I'm currently living. There's something amiss maybe in me, maybe in you. There's something not quite right in the church. There's something off in the world. But this song is for us. We believe as Christians that Jesus is the alternative to the world, that through his cross and resurrection, another way of living is possible. That in a world that has told us to find yourself and go out and invent yourself and reinvent yourself, the most youth, if there are any youth in here, listen to this. Like, the most countercultural thing you can do today is follow Jesus. To submit to him. Instead of insisting on my way, submitting to Jesus' way. And Jesus says that those who seek thereof, those who try to find themselves, are going to lose themselves. But he says those who lose themselves for my sake will find life. The secret to life is not finding yourself. I can't tell you how many people that I have counseled over the years who tell me, I'm just trying to find myself. And guess what? They find themselves, and they're very, very unimpressed with what they find. The secret to life is being found by Jesus and following him. That's where we discover who we are and whose we are. That's where we discover meaning and mission. Nothing that we created and made up for ourselves, but rather something that has been gifted to us by another, by the God who made us and loves us and calls us and sends us. That is the antidote to modern malaise. It's funny, our minister is reading a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And in the 1940s, C.S. Lewis saw all of this coming. He knew that when man made himself the center of the world, that he was the inventor of his own being, that we were in trouble. Lewis warned us that this is his words, not mine. He said it would create men without chests. And what he meant by that was that we would lose our spirits. We would lose our vital energy for life if life becomes all about me and I don't receive it from God. And Lewis also knew that God made us to grow and to search and to seek and to make progress. And so this is what Lewis says. He says, progress means getting nearer to the place you want to be. And if you have taken a wrong turn, then to go forward does not get you any nearer. If you are on the wrong road, progress means turning around and walking back to the right road. And in that case, the man who turns back soonest is the progressive man. We made a wrong turn. We have made a wrong turn in our thinking and in our philosophy and in the way we're doing things. Our modern self-centered way of living, it is making us sick and addicted and suicidal in astronomical record numbers. We're destroying creation and community, and we are becoming increasingly divided and isolated, and our children are